I'd like to begin by asking this question. If you're able, can you recall your favorite gift that you received from your parents as a child? You know, some of us, you know, probably grew up in the 40s and the 50s and the 70s and 80s and maybe even more recent. But yeah, what are some, can anyone shout out what your favorite gift was that you received as a child from your parents? A doll. Okay. A house? Oh, a dollhouse. Like, wow, okay, your parents gave you a house. That would, we would still need to do that today, I think. Yeah, a house. Okay, dollhouse. Okay. A pony. You got a real pony. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. A what? You got a game? Oh, you got an Atari. Oh, wow. Okay, Atari. Okay. Well, that's great. I'm glad that some of us can, you know, feel free to share out what your favorite gift is. So, as most of you know, I grew up in the 80s. And so for us, for me as a child, the thing that was the have-to toy was the Nintendo Game Boy. It was all the rage. And of course, and apparently what I've learned is that the Game Boy is apparently coming back. So anything that's old is now new again. So there you go. But hopefully Nintendo has learned from their first experience coming out in the 80s, because when they first came out with the Nintendo Game Boy, this was obviously before the age of rechargeable battery packs. They didn't know what that was. And they didn't include batteries in the packaging. So, if you can imagine, you receive this on your birthday or Christmas, and your parents forgot to purchase the battery. All of a sudden, it becomes a mad scramble through the house trying to find AA batteries that actually work in order to make this thing, you know, to power it on. And of course, the Nintendo Game Boy back then, it really sucked your batteries really, really fast. And so, anyways, you know, this was an awesome gift. But obviously, because if there was no power, it wouldn't do anything. And once you actually had the battery and you plugged it in and put it in, it was really about your own personal entertainment. You really couldn't share it with anyone, nor did it really add anything to our lives other than seeing who got the high score on a game. You know, our good God gives us gifts as His children today, and that's what we're going to be talking about, the spiritual gifts that God gives His children. But the cool thing about the gifts that God gives us, they already come with power. You don't need to go and find batteries or battery packs. It already has power when God gives us the spiritual gifts. And that these spiritual gifts that God gives us is not just for our own personal enjoyment, but they're really meant to be shared. And they really do add to our lives, in our fulfillment, in our meaning, in our purpose, when we do share our gifts with others. And that's what I think is happening in our passage today, where the Apostle Paul is addressing the misunderstanding of spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church, some of whom were viewing their spiritual gifts as a way to earn a spiritual high score based on the gifts that they had received. The Corinthians had missed the point that spiritual gifts were really intended for their discipleship rather than just their own spiritual advantage. Furthermore, these gifts were not reliant or dependent on our skills and talents, but to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why the theme of today's message is spiritual gifts are for discipleship. And so we read in verse 1 what Paul writes. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. For some of us who've been following the series for a while, we understand that there have been many issues that have brought division among the Corinthian church. They were arguing about who to follow, the leaders, leaders to follow, which teachers to listen to. They were dealing with what even the last chapter, in chapter 11 that we were addressing the last couple of Sundays. They were talking about, you know, how do we receive the Lord's Supper? And even there, there was a misunderstanding, and that was creating division within the church body as well. So then he moves on into verse 4. And now that we have this idea or this concept of spiritual gifts, he wants to address what may be causing, again, some of the discontent that was happening within the church. And Paul, right away, brings the attention to what spiritual gifts are really about. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And that is the point. That's what he was really trying to get home on. Now, for some of us here today, we probably heard various messages, or we've maybe even taken part of workshops that have talked about spiritual gifts. But I think it's helpful to understand why this was such an area of discontent and division in the Corinthian church. And so for a moment, we have to step back into a Greco-Roman spiritual worldview. And they had a deep understanding of spiritual powers. They wouldn't necessarily call them spiritual gifts, but they understood about spiritual powers. And in their view, spiritual powers were bestowed upon humans as a reward for their devotion, the sacrifice that they brought to the temple, or performing a great deed. However, what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, really helps us to understand, again, what really the purpose of the Holy Spirit was and the spiritual gifts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in all Samaria, and to the ends of the world, of the earth." The word power that's used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is derived from the Greek word dunamis, which means ability, might, worker of miracles, mighty work, or wonderful work. In essence, what Paul is trying to say is this: you will receive the ability from the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. This is what Jesus is trying to say. You will receive the ability from the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. And being a witness is one who testifies of what they had seen in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples were not to sit around, basically, and wait for Jesus' return. Although that was some of the view of the disciples who truly believed that Jesus would return in their lifetime. But rather, as I mentioned, that they were just not to sit around and wait for Jesus' return. Jesus had a mission and a purpose for his disciples. And so if we put ourselves in the feet of the disciples for a second, you could almost sense the immensity of this commission if we viewed it from our human terms. Now, interestingly enough, dunamis is actually the word that we use as rooted, as a root word for another English word that, let me ask you, what do you think dunamis is the root word of? Anyone? TNT, that's right, dynamite. And that's exactly what it is, that when Paul uses the word dunamis, he's actually referring to the word dynamite. Christ's disciples are going to be filled with dynamite and powerfully impact the power structures, the neighborhoods, the enemies and parts unknown with God and for God through His Holy Spirit. And this is the gifts that Paul references in verses 8 through 11. And I'll just quickly go through them. But I hope is that next Sunday, for the next two Sundays, when we have our workshop on spiritual gifts, that we would start to unpack some of these spiritual gifts that are listed. This is just one list, by the way. Paul refers to wisdom, which is about spiritual insight. Knowledge refers to the ability to apply biblical truth to life. Faith as a spiritual gift. Healing is the ability to restore health. Miraculous powers may be referred to exercising demons or inducing physical disability or even death. Prophecy is the ability, like the Old Testament prophets, to declare a message of God for His people. Ability to distinguish between spirits is the gift to differentiate the word of God proclaimed by a true prophet from that of the deceiver. Tongues could refer to actual different languages or the ability to speak God's spiritual language. And interpretation was the ability to translate or interpret a spiritual proclamation. The gifts had a unity in one source, and they also had a unity in purpose. Again, they were given not for personal self-enrichment or self-aggrandizement, but for the common good of the body of Christ, the building up of others. Said another way, it's not about who has the better or greater gift, but that we recognize the spiritual gifts in one another and help each other to grow and use these gifts to serve in the ministry to which God has prepared for us. I am thankful for Killarney Park, and I don't think I've ever seen this happen, but recognize that we as a church have a history of identifying, nurturing, and growing and developing our gifts. What I have also experienced, and some of us here may have as well, where one gift is sometimes given more importance over another. One of the key distinctives of our evangelical Anabaptist tradition is our belief in the priesthood of all believers. And it means that all persons in our faith community are spiritually empowered servants and leaders. We're all encouraged and invited to use the spiritual gifts that God has blessed us in order to, again, to serve the church, but also, actually, to also disciple us as well. Because in the using of these gifts, in the exercising of these gifts, we will also then experience the fruits of the Spirit, patience, love, self-control. When you start to use all of these gifts, you start to recognize that, yeah, you will be changed. God is going to use these gifts to change who you are. He's going to transform the way you view things and view life. And hopefully out of that, we will start to display these fruits of the Spirit. As Jesus' disciples, we are all spiritually equal before God and one another by the power of the Holy Spirit, who leads us to faith in Christ, convicts us in spirit, assures us of our relationship with God, and equips us to build up the body. God has filled us with dynamite. Do you agree with that? Hopefully. But sometimes we feel like a worn out battery. Serving with our spiritual gifts is meant to be life-giving and soul-affirming. And I want to just say that, again, not saying this has happened at Kalani Park, but I am aware that sometimes in our using of our spiritual gifts, and typically when a pastor starts to talk about spiritual gifts, it often becomes a recruitment effort. And I'm not here to recruit anybody, okay? just be assured, I'm not here on a recruiting campaign. But rather, I do recognize that when we talk about spiritual gifts, there is this call to service. And unfortunately, sometimes that calls to service has led to the use and abuse of people in the church. And if that has been your experience, I truly apologize. Rather, what I believe and also what I've experienced here at Kalani Park is that we want God's people to use the spiritual gifts that God has given you, again, in a way that is life-giving and soul-affirming. And that if there are times when we do feel like a worn-out battery instead of the dynamite, that we as the body of Christ will help one another and restore one another for those who have burnt out. And that's a whole conversation as well about the real issue of ministry burnout. If you are new to the faith today, or wonder what the difference is between a skill, a talent, or a spiritual gift, and here I apologize because I'm really plugging this, is that next week, please join me for a workshop on spiritual gifts. I think we have various views of what spiritual gifts are about. I think there's some misconceptions of what spiritual gifts are about. And like I said, maybe we come from traditions that perhaps overemphasize one spiritual gift over another. And so this is an opportunity to learn from one another and grow in our knowledge of spiritual gifts. One of the things I love here at Kalani Park is the value of the intergenerational congregation that we have here, that we can learn and grow together. Some of us, perhaps, we feel that we are in the twilight of our lives, and so there really isn't any need for us to be using our spiritual gifts anymore. And yet, some of us may be new or newish in our faith, and we have no understanding or very little understanding of how or what spiritual gifts are. And so I think there's something there where we can bring the generations together, and we can learn from one another to learn how our church has identified spiritual gifts. How were they developed? How were they encouraged? I conclude with this story that last Wednesday, I have started to join a workshop at Shannon Oaks on spiritual care for seniors. And the interesting thing to me was that I thought this was a workshop for pastors or those of us in ministry or those of us who were chaplains, and was surprised to learn that in actual fact this workshop was designed for the residents of Shannon Oaks, who, as most of us know, are seniors and they're in this assisted living home. And the idea was that their chaplain, Dr. Claudia Rosero, had a desire to equip the residents there to use their spiritual gifts to impact their peers and community. And I thought, that's just amazing. That she didn't planned this workshop for quote-unquote ministry professionals, but rather to equip saints at Shannon Oaks to continue to live out their faith, to continue to use their spiritual gifts in care and love and service of their peers and community. So today, I encourage us, no matter the stage of life, young, old, in between, new to the faith, been in the faith for generations, God has and will empower you to serve Him and His body. Will you bow your heads with me? Father God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for our visitors today. I thank you, Lord, for the disciples that are here. Father God, may we be filled with your dynamite today. And Lord, that we would lean into the spiritual gifts that you have blessed us with, not just for our own enjoyment or our own purposes, but rather to be used in a way to serve your people, to equip your people, to grow together, to serve together. So Father God, yes, continue to empower us today. Continue, Lord, to fill our spirits. Help us, Lord, today as well to learn and to have the courage and the desire and the willingness to serve you in our spiritual gifts, through our spiritual gifts, in our community here, our faith community, as well as in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and our schools. We ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name.